I have enjoyed baking bread for about 10 years now. In the last number of years, I've been fascinated by learning and practicing making sourdough bread. And I have two different types going at the moment. I'm fascinated by the science of it, how the sourdough or the flour and the water captures yeast in the air, and the yeast feeds on the sugar of the gluten, and as it sits, it grows and rises. That to me is somewhat of a mystery in my unscientific mind. Well, our rapid rise yeast makes it possible to produce bread in a shorter amount of time instead of taking the time to capture the yeast in the air. And when it is fed sugar, the mysterious thing happens. It grows. So I brought some with me this morning for us to observe. A little bit like a science experiment in the classroom, right? Get it to dissolve here. Almost there. Okay, we'll see what happens. Let's see if that's visible for most people. Well, you might be thinking, God's rest in yeast. Where is she going with this anyways? Well, in our Deuteronomy text this morning, we have God giving the Ten Commandments to Moses as a guide for the recently freed Israelites. They have just escaped generations, and I know I forget the fact that they were enslaved for generations under the tyrannical rule of the Pharisees. Their religious and cultural patterns have been compromised because they have been told what to do. They didn't have the freedom to take time away from their work. Upon receiving the Ten Commandments, God was offering for them guidance in living into God's way of being. God reminded them that they were worthy of rest. In the biblical narrative, and Laura already spoke about this in the children's time, in the beginning of creation, God wove rest into the creation's rhythm. We see it in the seasons that we have today. We see it in other areas. The seventh day, God rested. God stopped, looked around, and communed with all that had been created. God was not driven by endless creativity and work. God saw the value in pausing and being in relationship with what had been created before God's self. Sabbath rest, then, is God's gift of grace for creation. It's a living out of freedom to have a relationship, to have bounds, to have limits. contrary to maybe a hard work ethic, Sabbath grace doesn't come in completing everything on our list. It isn't given when we pass God's worthiness test. It is given because we are. It's a gift of grace given to all that which has been created. As humans, we have the tangible rest through sleep and relaxation. We also have an invitation to rest in a relationship with God's grace and love. And that may not be as tangible. This past year, perhaps, put that to the test for some of us. May I dare say we have grown in seeing ways in which we experience Sabbath beyond the walls of the church. Sabbath happens for some on a different day of the week, if Sunday is a work day. Others, Sabbath rest might happen on a mountaintop, when deep breaths can be taken and a beautiful vista can be seen. But in this sense, in relating with God in relationship, offering us Sabbath, perhaps Sabbath are those places where we commune with God and others, and that communion, that relationship, is what feeds our souls and gives us that rest. When we commune with God, we acknowledge that we are more than a creature who toils on this earth. We are more than our friends and followers on social media. We are more than our pay scale. We are more than our work. We are more than the kind of car we drive or the home we live in. We are more than our limitations. Sabbath rest is a time when we connect with the core of who we are through the eyes of God's grace. As we get in touch with this grace, we are invited into the training ground of Jesus' yoke he mentions recorded in Matthew. We're invited to enter into a relationship with Jesus in which we learn, grow, and follow Jesus' leadership. We're a couple generations away from knowing about the use of the yoke. The yoke linked two animals together to share the load. And at times it was used to train a less experienced animal to learn the ways of the farm labor of the more experienced. Jesus invites us in the Matthew passage to not go it alone in life. Living life alone is a lonely road at times, and we can be living around people and still go it life alone. Well, Jesus is inviting us to learn Jesus' ways by spending time together, working alongside, and living into the common goal of loving justice, doing mercy, and walking humbly with God. This kind of yoked rest is formational, forming our spirit to be in step with God's spirit. The mysteriously heavy weight becomes light as Jesus bears the load of life with us. Both God's rest manifested in relationship with creation and Jesus' co-laboring model of formation invite us to lay down the heavy weights of our culture and of our world. I believe some of these weights can include things like a value of busyness filling our schedules, production, seeking top dollar, consumerism, corporate culture that operates at the expense of others, white supremacy hierarchy, and Christian nationalism. And that's not even mentioning the tragedies that we have witnessed this past week in the world. This is a lot of weight to carry if we expect to carry it simply ourselves. God's rest invites us into a relationship in which we begin with our worthiness, and in this relationship we have the choice to accept this gracious gift of rest and communion. In the accepting comes freedom. Freedom to say no and yes. Freedom to be more than what you do. Freedom to be restored from fatigue. Freedom to be released from the shoulds and the oughts. Freedom to just be. In this time of pandemic, we have lived with the limits of masks, events being canceled or altered, and travel restrictions. And for some, work has been complexified times 10, and maybe you would multiply it even by more. And for others, the isolation has been so intense. And still others, it brought a welcome reprieve to a fast-paced life. As we peer ahead to decisions we have made or will make individually and communally, what portions of what we have experienced in the past year will we want to hold on to? How might God's invitation to rest and be in relationship give you the freedom to choose the pace, the involvements, and the work that matches the co-labor model of the yoke? This yeast before us has begun to grow, as you might see. I like to see this vessel as a picture of each of us, where the yeast of God's Spirit joins our sugary passions to create something we couldn't grow on our own. When we accept God's gracious gift of rest, we enter into the non-quantitative relationship, which mysteriously grows beyond what we can ask or imagine.